All right. And as the review, once again, there was a lot. One big thing I want you to see is how much information God put on being a fool. And I think I got most of it out of the Bible in here, but not all of it, because there's so much on it. And like I said, I was coming the other way in showing wisdom. I was showing the other end of it, that God is giving us that. Why did God give us so much information on being a fool? Because being foolish, just like being deceived, is a choice. It's something that we can be, and it's so dangerous because it's a condemned mindset that if you're not careful, you're living and headed to hell. It's like that person, once again, who thinks they're mocking God, but they're being a fool. You know what I mean? In the end, they're going to be one of the ones he goes, "I never knew you." So we have to understand that. So as we're going through these traits and understanding, we realize that the Bible not only provides us what we need to protect us from others, but it's also for us to help and us to help others, but it's also for us to check ourselves to make sure we're not the fools. And we must realize we are never able to label somebody a fool. You know, today we use that word like it's nothing, you know, call somebody a fool, and we use it jokingly and we don't think much of it, not realizing it's a serious word. And for me to call somebody that is condemning them. Okay. And, you know, so it's a bad thing. So we got to be very careful not to do that, but understand who a fool is and when I'm being foolish. We see some characteristics of them, that they are incapable of having wise conversations. They walk blindly. They purposely display their disbelief in God. Okay. And we must redirect them from their foolishness. In other words, we can't debate them or argue with them within their foolishness. When they talk about something that's outside of God, you almost have to kind of get out of it and redirect them to God and not stay within that conversation. There's a lot of foolish conversations out there that we stay in and we're like, why are we in this conversation? What is this about? What does it have to do with God? And that's what he's saying. Don't do it in there, because now you've become a fool. You know what I mean? And so be very careful of that. So what defines a fool? We've seen that focusing on their perception and become angry when you don't. That's you'll see them become very irritated when you don't see things their way. That's a foolish trait. They follow self wisdom. You'll hear them always kind of lean upon their experience and what they went through, of course. Fools live in fairy tale as if it's reality. Like they'll do some of the things they believe in, it has nothing to do with God, and you're just kind of, and I mean, they're very strongly believing in that. Fools work harder, not smarter. So they're not all lazy. Some fools are lazy. That's another trait of them, but some just work just to work. They don't look things and see things through. Fools provoke instead of speaking knowledge. They like to yell over you instead of conversating. And fools are easily swayed because they believe anything. In other words, and I told you one thing that always hurt me is because con artists, first place they go is to the church. Why did they go to the church? Because we are not understanding faith. And because we don't understand faith, we mistake faith sometimes for what things we want and for fearlessness. And when you don't understand faith and somebody comes and say, "Hey, you can have this or that," you go, "Hey, God's given me this or that." And then we'll do something foolish. And we have to understand wisdom and faith work hand in hand. So we really got to know what faith is, you know, in dealing with things. So fools assess a situation. Fools do not assess a situation, and they end up paying for it. All right. Fools look at the outcome they see and not what God says. Now, this is a common one for a fool, because it shows a lot of us are becoming more foolish today, because we'll see somebody do something, either nothing happened to them or they got something out of it, even though the Bible clearly says, and then you can fill in the blank, and we'll follow what they did because of what they got out of it. And you'll go, "But the Bible said," yeah, but they got a husband and I want a husband. And even though this person's not a Christian, and you'll hear them argue the point, and you're saying, "But the Bible says." That's foolish when you're clearly seeing it. We see that they strive for self-comfort over truth, spreading of slander. Fools find pleasure in evil instead of wisdom. They do not learn from discipline. So you'll see them doing the same thing again, even after they got punished for it. There'll be multiple repeaters. They don't control their tongue. Christians know there is one truth, while a fool uses many resources to support their claims. Like I said, I've had people where we're calling each other Christians. And I'm saying, okay, here's what the Bible's saying. They say, yes, but I read this book that said yes. And this other person said yes. And this minister said yes. And this, and you're like, wait, but they're not saying from the Bible. Yeah, but they're godly men, but they're not using the Bible. Christians already know that's where our truth comes from. That's our safety net. So don't go off with somebody because that's what Satan did. Because remember, Satan even used the Bible, but he didn't use it as sound doctrine. But because Jesus was grounded, that's why it says firm in your faith. So we have to be careful of that. Fools' claims will be unsubstantiated. In other words, they really won't be able to prove them. And our true proof is the Bible. Fools are led by what he thinks more than truth. Fools trust self, as we said earlier. Fools are emotionally driven. All right. And fools gain wealth through wrong paths, and fools' foolishness will be their demise. People don't understand that sometimes fools think they're getting over. It's like that mocking God thing and some of the things that you see fools doing down here. They're thinking they're getting over. And like I said, you can't fool God. And then we start the last section of dangers of a fool and foolishness. And we saw that fools' words lead to destruction. Okay, so some of the things they say, if you're not careful and you follow them in the path, it may look like you're going the right way, but it's where it ends up. Fools love speaking nonsense. They'll say stuff that makes no sense. It's out of line. Why are we even talking like that? Nothing is gained from a fool. And you have to understand that. And if you depend on a fool, you will have worthless outcomes. There are some things, and that's why I was using some quality things in the hand of a fool. It just lost its worth. Does that make sense? You know, that's very important. That's like if a Christian is being a fool, I don't care how he recites the Bible, he just destroyed it. You know, of course he can't destroy the word, but him presenting it. You know what I mean? So if I was being a fool and still trying to be a pastor, I'm ruining anybody I'm ministering. Okay, so the dependence on a fool is something we shouldn't have. And the last we ended with fools live in complacency and do not truly resolve issues. And complacency means, like I said, the fool goes into a mindset of I'm good, and they'll go with when they're at peace with it. They don't get uncomfortable. You know what I mean? It was Sister Carolyn brought up earlier, you know, people living in their comfortable homes and things of that sort. And somebody saying, hey, there's a thing for the homeless. Even if the person did go, man, though I feel uncomfortable about having this place come into my neighborhood, they do need a place to live. It should stir up something. You know, spiritually convict us. But a fool, once again, complacency is, well, I'm good. Now I'm gonna go find another place. And it's so bad how cold we have become, which is extremely foolish. They should see extreme compassion coming from Christians. Extreme compassion. But you're right, we can be very, very cold. So this is where we last left off on foolishness can lead to an early death. Now, watch what this says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 17. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 17 says, be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? Now, some may say, shouldn't it say not to be wicked at all? And they say, yes, of course it should say that. But it's saying there are some that we're going to fall. Even though we have the ability, because in Christ we can do all things. We have the ability after we accept Christ, because now Christ should be our strength to live a sinless life. But his grace does allow us to fall and get back up. Okay, we do have that. But you have some that are thinking they're taking God for granted. Do you understand that? And he's showing you in both these cases that overly wicked, you know, that's like I said, that's a whole nother sermon. But he's saying, do not be that. Don't be that person that's thinking you're taking away, you know, advantage of God, which many are. Many are playing God and they're setting themselves up. But then he says, neither be a fool. Now, what people don't realize this verse is saying is that everybody has a time that you're going to die. Okay, that's why it says, why should you die before your time? Which also implies I can hinder or shorten my time. You understand that? Now, we don't know what that time is. You know, one person, they can be at 17, another person could be 150. He doesn't say that. I know people go in that one verse where they say everybody should live 120. That's a whole nother thing, and we'll get into that some other time. But the key is everybody has a time in which you're going to be taken either which way. But in between there, you can shorten that. Okay? That's why murder is such a dangerous thing also, because you can shorten somebody else's time. If it wasn't their time to go. That's why I use Hezekiah as a good example. Remember when first God first said, you know, get your house together because you're going to go. And then he prayed and he petitioned. Some people thought Hezekiah changed God's mind. No. What Hezekiah showed is when we present our, remember how God says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything present your request to God through prayer, petition with thanksgiving. Just a lot of stuff we're doing that's hurting our time. You know, he says you don't receive because you don't ask. So his time was that extra time added on. You understand? That was his time. But you see how we can do things to affect our time. And even sometimes some things that happen down here, how is our prayer and our time with God? We can truly affect that. So when he's saying, neither be a fool, why should you die before your time? A lot of the things I just read are shortening your life. I mean, think of things like some of the stuff we put in our body, some basic things. There's a in the New Testament where it talks about our health. And it says, you know, your body is the temple of God, but just even using that, some of the things we eat or don't eat, some things we do or don't do, just smoking itself, all that stuff is probably shortening our time because they are foolish. And we got to make sure we understand that. Also understand that fools are just asking for punishment. I mean, they set themselves up. They put themselves in the way. Proverbs 14:3 says, a fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. Think about the difference here. Think about the difference. It was, I had some friends that used to hang around, and just from the dumb things they would say would get us all in trouble. You wanted to go, oh, will you stop, man? We were almost out of here. You know what I mean? While a wise person, I told you when I used to tell my kids, and my son caught on early, I'd say it to my kids. I was like, you're going to get punished when you do something wrong. But if you can explain to me why you did it, and I don't know, we'll only get you a worse punishment. Because I don't ever want you doing something without recognizing what you're doing. So even if he said, because I really wanted to do it, I would shorten or take something off the punishment for him being honest with, and he would learn from it. It was a good thing to see him learning of, okay, that was stupid. Why did I do that? And that's what I wanted him to learn. I wanted him to gain that. So he caught that on, he caught on to that. So that's what he was using wisdom, and it protected him. Do you understand that? While a fool would just kind of, why you gotta punish me? Did you do wrong? Because I would always ask them, explain to me what I did wrong. You know what I mean? And if the conversation was just getting mad at me, that's a fool. And then punishment would get worse. You want more? Right? And a fool would keep going. And it doesn't make sense. And we do the same thing. We allow our attitudes. We allow our pride. And all of these things are foolish. And the punishment we gain a lot of times. And I know there's garbage going on with the police and it's unfair and it's unbalanced. And that's true. And no way do I want to take away from that, because it is something that is unfair and it's happening from all races doing it. However, I got to say this to all races. We got to keep some things just say the basic things. You're nothing wrong with you asking questions, but sometimes it's better just to, here's my license, here's this and that, anything else? You know what I mean? And not be foolish in what you're doing. So we got to be very careful with that. Fools are dangerous with money. Proverbs 17:16 says, of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no desire to get wisdom? What God is implying here is money is dangerous without wisdom. Rich people without wisdom are doomed. We see that in James 5. You understand that? Because here's the thing, and this is why he says it's easier for a camel to make it through the eye of a needle than a rich man to make it to the kingdom of heaven. The key that he is showing this, he's putting this out here because money can make you live comfortably in sin. Because if you remember the rich man, right, Lazarus and the rich man, the thing that he used against him, he says, you lived in luxury all the days of your life. So nothing really put him in check because he kept catering to the flesh. So if I don't have wisdom, I'll live in comfort, thinking it's all good, thinking I'm going to heaven, and then I die. Think about it. That's why he says, what use is money in the hand of a fool? Some of us, it's better for us not to have it, because then life will keep us in check, right? Something happens to me at my job, keep me in check, to keep me not prideful, to keep me not this, you know, whatever the things I'm not supposed to be, to love my enemies, to listen to my boss, to have all this stuff, right? It's molding me and helping me to grow. If I was rich, I'd quit, right? And continue to be a fool, never mature. Think about that. You have to have wisdom. So fools with money, dangerous combination. Foolish children bring grief to parents, which is a thing. And this is why we don't raise our children to be fools. Unfortunately, today we are. Proverbs 17:21 says, "To have a fool for a son brings grief. There is no joy for the father of a fool." And it's sad to say that, but when we raise them as a fool, here's the deal. If you raise them for them, you're raising a fool. What do I mean by that? If I raise them for their happiness, for their success, for their protection, for their outcome, and the key that's all of these, that I can add other words to it, is there. When I do it for them, I'm raising a fool. Why? Because eventually, if I ever want them to come to God, and if you are a Christian yourself, hopefully you realize you're not living for you. If you're truly a Christian, you're living for Christ, right? So I got to raise them for the Christ in them. I got to raise them for the Christ protection. I got to raise them for the Christ success. Y'all see the difference here? And this is where we mess up, because we raise them for themselves. And in raising them for themselves, they grow up as fools. And then we kind of, what happened? So keep an eye on that. That's why God gives the specific instructions on how to raise our children. But you bring them up and you allow certain things and you give in to certain things, and you keep giving excuses for certain things, and they become a fool. Grief. It's going to bring a parent grief. Fools cannot handle wisdom. Now, what he's showing here in Proverbs 24:7, let me read it first. It says, "Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say." So what this is saying is, wisdom, you have to leave foolishness in order to become wise. That's what he's saying. Okay, so it's the same thing as flesh and spirit. They're going opposite directions. So I can't be a fool that does something wise. Even when a fool does something wise, is way beyond what he just did. Does that make sense? Okay, so it's showing that the wisdom. Now, please understand, just because you have something to say doesn't always mean you're wise. Remember, we have to use sound doctrine, because remember, it says, even when somebody keeps his mouth shut, even a fool seems wise. What it's basically saying is the wisdom will show us when and what to say. True wisdom. Okay, but a fool, like I said, when it's saying has nothing to say, it's not just saying they don't have words to say. It's saying the things they're saying is worthless. So it's adding all of that, you know. So it says wisdom is too high for them. They can't. They'll say something and they don't realize how foolish it is, or they'll say nothing and how they should have known that. So, you know, fools, like I said, you see them a mile away. Only when you're looking at it through spiritual eyes. Fools will say a lot of nothing. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, "As a dream comes when there are many cares." This is one thing for people who ask the question about dreams. How come I have dreams so much? Something like that. It says, "As a dream comes when there are many cares." That's one of those subtle things the Bible kind of throws out there. So for somebody who dreams a lot, it means you got a lot of stuff on your mind. I mean, a ton of stuff on your mind. I know I dream a lot, and I used to not, but I do a lot now. And I think about a lot of stuff, and it's something, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, as long as I'm not worrying about it, but I do have a lot of stuff in my mind. And yes, I do dream, and they're whacked out dreams. I think Sister Darlene's dreams are worse than mine, but they're whacked out dreams that you got to keep an eye on, that go back and forth. But it goes on to say, "So the speech of a fool when there are many words." So it's saying, you'll see a fool continue to talk. Do you understand that? It shows a fool. That's like I was saying earlier, that nothing to say is one thing, but a fool won't know when to stop talking. They'll keep digging a hole. They'll keep making it worse. You already messed up. Just stop. Do you understand that? And they just keep on going. And these are very important for us, because these are traits that we notice and makes us realize, okay, got it. And it should make us move on and do things. But no, we still get caught up. But the ones who just say a bunch of nothing and they keep going is a big sign of a fool. Fools become targets for deception. And that's what I was talking to you earlier when I said about the, if you look at both things, the pyramid scheme and the housing bubble, when it burst, one of the main groups they were going after was the church. And you and there is a documentary that came out where the woman worked in the bank, and the head of the bank said, there's a bunch of churches down there that haven't been touched. You need to go talk to those ministers. She said she knew this. And I remember she's walking out, she's, I'm going to hell. But, you know, they made a ton of money. They were like, we're not going to lose that money, but whatever they do. And then the ministers would get up there and say, God wouldn't put you in a position and this, that, and whatever. And he was using, and it was showing his ignorance. Because as a pastor, as a shepherd, he put his put the flock placed in his care in danger. Because he was using a what he thought God was going to do and not what God said. You understand? And I remember during that time, I had a bunch of people asking, can I come to talk to your flock? And I blatantly said, nope. Nope. Well, how about if I come and I talk to them afterwards? Nope. And I said, I'm going to warn them if you do show up. I was like, I'm not saying wrong or right on this. You know what I mean? Because I didn't know it well enough. I just said, but I'm not going to expose them to something like that. Now, if they choose to go searching for you, that's one thing. I was like, but it won't be coming from me. And he kept using the, and I know there's some that want the house and so on and so forth. And the problem that kept coming to me is if I don't know it, I'm not going to put people in that position because that becomes my responsibility. But look what it says in Romans 16, 17 to 18. He says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way. And this is not talking about yours personally. This is talking about us spiritually. Okay? He doesn't care if they put divisions between me and my friends that are just my friends and obstacles based on my dreams because those are meaningless. It's talking about divisions between me and the body. If I see it causing division with me and other Christians, and if I see it stopping me from walking in God's way, this is a problem. That's why he said, watch out for that. Those are two major traits. If I see it making me disconnect from other Christians in any reason, that's a problem. You understand that? And if any way makes me stop from being a Christian, it goes on to say that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Did you catch that? That's so it's basically learning and showing us that. He says, keep away from them. Okay? These are dangerous. This is for such people. Are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of, watch this. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of, watch this, naive people. Give me 1 second. Bear with me, y'all. I apologize. I am on call, so I gotta send this out to somebody to get for me. But as I'm typing, I can continue to talk, hopefully, because we can't do two things at once. But do you notice what it says? By smooth talk of flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. It didn't say of everybody. You got where I'm coming from? It says of naive people. And where we get caught up is we allow, if we allow ourselves not to be wise, and that's why I said I'm coming from the other end, you're going to get pulled in. You're going to get, and you'll end up being one of these naive people. No Christian should be a naive person. No Christian, this title should not fit any one of us. Okay. But unfortunately, if we don't follow the things that God gives us, this will be us. You understand that? And it can really set us up if we're not careful. And we have to really be careful on what we're doing. Let me type this in real quick. Okay, good. Sorry about that. All right. So if you notice that, so the naive people should tell us something. And this is why we come to this last part of it to understand, are we foolish? And this is what we have to ask ourselves. And this is going to be a thing as we close out on, is this what we are? First of all, we must first ask, what is my perception? Okay, what is my perception? If this is not your perception as a Christian, you're a fool. And this is what it's showing us. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we live by faith, not by sight. That's why please know what faith is. Please know what faith is, because like I said, if you define faith wrong, you're still walking by something else that's not faith. It's still part of sight. And the key, and that's why I put this in bold and caps, not. It didn't say walk by faith, period. It says walk by faith, not by sight. So even if I mix some sight with my faith, I'm still a fool. And that's what's happening to us. We'll see things, we'll add us instead of completely being led by the word. See that danger? Secondly, are we sincerely testing everything? Are we sincerely testing everything. As I was saying earlier, for the question that was asked, what Sister Chanson was asking, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 22 says, test everything. Every Christian should have this. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. I told you, no matter what, you're hearing this, you're going to go back and you're going to check your Bible, right, to make sure what I'm teaching you is in line with God's word. And if it's good, you'll hold on to it. If it's wrong, your pastor, I need to talk to you. You're not just going to go, well, I trust my pastor. No, don't do that. I want to make sure it's coming from the word. And that has to be everything. I am responsible for testing everything. And then it shows us foolishness causes sin, which causes torment. It says in Psalms 38, 3 through 6, it says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate all the day I go about mourning. Y'all see that? So now what it's showing you is it's letting us know of how our foolishness can cause the pains and the things and that are happening in my life. Think about it. Some of the things that we go through that we're struggling with is due to us from being foolish. Plain and simple. I know we want to say maybe God is, you know, training me or I'm going through something right now. While in reality, you know, what's really happening is I set myself up. If I get paid and I have a budget and I spend my money, I can't go, hey, God's putting me through a trial. I was being foolish. Do y'all understand that? If I get into some of the things out here and not do what I'm supposed to, some of the excuses I give are just foolishness. And some of the problems I'm going through are due to my foolishness. Y'all get this? Okay. So this is very important for us to make sure we get and we understand. All right. I am, and I truly, truly apologize for this. I'm going to have to stop there because nobody responded back to me. So by law, I have to take this call. So we will stop on that point. And God willing, we will be able to finish up the rest of this next time, and then we'll try to start a new study. Amen. All right. I apologize, y'all. I have to abruptly quit, but we'll let us pray. And make sure y'all keep, there are those who are struggling in church, those who have illnesses in the church. And because there's so many names, I don't want to leave people out. That's why I'll, unless somebody gives a specific one, I won't say any names all the time. I'll pray for those who are sick, those who are struggling, just to kind of let everybody know, but I don't want to leave others out. So there are those who are going through some illnesses, some through some struggles, some whatever that is, please keep them in your prayers. What we might even start doing is keeping a prayer list to send out, or that'll be on the website for people to grab hold on to and to pray about. But we're going to pray out, then I got to go. And I apologize once again. So let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much, dear Lord, for your love, your kindness, and all that you do. I thank you for the word that we have gotten so far. And even though we have to quit a little earlier, dear Lord, we ask you to bless them with what has already been taught, have them check everything to make sure it's in line with you, dear Lord, and help us to seek you with all things at all times. We can't thank you enough, dear Lord, for the love you continue to show us and all that you continue to do for us. And all these blessings we ask in your Son, and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say,
amen.
Amen. Amen.